Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 3 in our teaching on the Book of Galatians, titled, Where is Freedom from Your Flesh? Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
Today's lesson is Freedom from Your Flesh. And as we begin, and you look at your observation worksheets, the observation worksheets, for those that are not familiar, is just a copy of the book of Galatians. Now, we also have those observation worksheets at the back. Last week's notes are at the back. And this week's notes will, of course, be here next week. But pick up a copy of the observation worksheets. They look like this. They'll be all colored up, and I want you to color more on them. There's a reason we do this coloring and the look at it. I'm trying to develop a prophetic gifting in you to look at the scriptures. The scriptures will start illuminating themselves. As you look at scripture, you should be able to, if somebody will say, let's say that you found yourself at a home or a family or a church even, and somebody came up to you and said, how about teaching us something in the Bible? You shouldn't freak out. You should say, okay. You should be able to pick up your Bible, open it up, look at a scripture, and start speaking on that scripture. Because as you're reading that scripture, all of a sudden words will start, they'll start jumping out at you. And the only thing you have to do is just read the script. Read the scripture, because the Bible is a book that illuminates itself to you. So as we're color coding these words and things, I encourage you to get your observation worksheets at the back, which is Galatians chapter 1 through 6. And as you're looking at those observation worksheets, you will start to notice different phrases and different words jumping out to you personally. As they do that, just underline it or highlight it. I've just tried to jumpstart you with some of these highlightings, and I do a little more each week. Mine's updated a little more each week. And so I really encourage you to do the observation worksheets as you're doing your workbook. So let's get started. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for today. We ask and pray, oh God, that we would put everything out of our minds. It's been a busy week. There's a lot on our minds. There's a lot of different crises. There's a lot of different pressures. And Lord God, we ask and pray that right now we want to set aside our spirit man. We want to set ourselves aside right now and just let your word read us. Dear God, the Bible is the only book that will read you while we're reading it. So, Lord, we pray that your word would read us and that we could study your word and it would become in us and through us. And, Lord God, we are physical beings, but we have a spirit. And I ask and pray that our spirit man will come alive today and that our spirit man would be more alive than our physical body and than our soul, that the Spirit of God might be living in us and that it might trump everything else that's going on in our lives. Lord, I ask and pray that through your word, that our spirit man would tell our soul and our body what for. It would be in charge and it would have to respond to it in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians, as we begin lesson 3, the beginning is, Where is Freedom from Your Flesh, is the title. If you would also like a workbook, which looks like this, you may sign up at the back. I don't know if we have any more left. If you do not have one and would like one, you may sign up at the back and we will have you one next week. Those that are watching on the internet, if you would like a book, you can just email in here to the church and we will be glad to get you one and send it to you. Any of the observation worksheets, any of these notes to those that are online, you just email us and we'll be glad to send all of that to you. Let's do a little review right quickly about Galatians as we move forward. The writer was who? Who? The Apostle Paul. To whom did he write it to? The believers in Galatia. What's the theme? The vindication of the gospel of what? Of the grace of God from any mixture of law conditions. Now, this was huge. As we're studying the book of Galatians, it was huge not to mix law and grace. The reason being, it would bring reproach against the cross of Christ. Now, we're going to look today at the reproach against the cross of Christ that a mixture brings. What you can say, well, Alan, that doesn't hurt anything. Well, it might. Anytime you dilute something, you make it weaker than it is in its original form. So the problems that we have today is diluting the gospel. You can say, well, Alan, God's not really doing what he says he'll do in that book. Well, the book of Galatians says if that's not happening, it's because you're diluting the gospel. You're making it weaker than what it is. So what we're after is the gospel undiluted. No mixture. And when you find the gospel, we see in the book of Galatians, with no mixture to it, that means that you are not contributing anything to the gospel except your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That is what we contribute. You have no righteousness in the law. You have no righteousness in your works. It leaves you to abandon who you are. Abandon who you are. And we contribute faith in Jesus Christ. Now, it's amazing how our faith can be weakened by a mixture of our own self-righteousness. And I hate to inform all of us, but you're not righteous. On your best day, it's like filthy rags. So that's your best day. So if that's the best day, could we not just abandon that? And let's move on into the message that Paul is trying to tell the church at Galatia. You have weakened the gospel of the cross of Christ. Now, why did Paul write the letter? Because people were distorting the gospel. Now, in day one and two, I'm going to combine 2 days in your little in your book, and it's going to be a lot of scripture. So as we're going over this scripture, you can look at it in your observation worksheets. And as we're going over it, I'll have some different things highlighted today. I would like for you to highlight them as we move forward. Now, we want to mark the words of either faith, promise, justified. Now there again, my goal is to help the scriptures start jumping out to you. You can read the scriptures linearly, like a storybook. And then there's another dimension where we look into the scripture. So what we're trying to develop and to sharpen and to bring to ourselves is how do we look into the scripture? The way we do that, we start marking words. We start highlighting words. Phrases will start to jump out at you. So today we want to mark faith, promise, and justify. Now let's look at it in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 in your observation worksheets, or you can look up here on the overhead. But when Cephas, which is Peter, came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he condemned, for prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of circumcision. Now, who's the circumcision? That's the Jews. Gentiles were called uncircumcision. The circumcision. Now, why were they called circumcision? Because that was part of the law, that they were to be circumcised. The rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy, with the results that even Barnabas was carried away by their what? Hypocrisy. So what did he call a mixture of doing the law with grace? He called it hypocrisy. So that's not a mild term. Now, look at faith and promise. You could say, well, Alan, we haven't marked any yet. We're getting to it. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, here we see, if I had this one up there, I would underline truth of the gospel. If they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, did the truth of the gospel jump out to anybody when I read it? All right, start watching these words. Truth of the gospel, that means that something prior to this statement, something was untruthful about the gospel. He's talking about the law. I said to Cephas in the presence of all, if you, being a Jew, live like the Gentiles and not like the Jews, how is it that you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews? This was the battle. The battle was living like Jews, living like Gentiles. Were you going to live under the law or not under the law? He kind of got on Peter here a little bit, say, hey, come on, Peter. You're living like Gentiles, but when the circumcision comes around or the Jews come around, all of a sudden you turn into this big Jew. He confronted Peter with that. Paul didn't think it was a bit funny. Went on to verse 15. We are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles. Now here we go with a little bit of underlining our words. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not what? A man is not justified, underline justify, by the works of the law, but through what? Faith in Christ Jesus. So here we see that they're not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. What was Martin Luther's big revelation? Justification by faith. It kind of shook the world when Martin Luther came out with that little revelation. Shook the world. My question to you is, does it shake you? It shook the world. Does it shake you? You can say, well, Alan, I didn't live back then. I can't help it. It's just as much law in you now as it was in them then. It's no difference. Are you shaken by the fact that we are justified through faith in Christ Jesus, even when we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ? Now, you can say, well, Alan, I understand that. I've got it. Why in the world keep bringing it up? Because you're not getting it. And I said, no, I've got it. No, you're not getting it. If we got it, we wouldn't be here, and God wouldn't have us studying Galatians. The very fact that we're here studying Galatians tells me we're just not getting it. Justified by faith. Justified by faith in Christ Jesus does mean that we have faith in Christ Jesus, but the other side of the coin is you are not justified by yourself. So you can believe, have faith in Christ, and at the same time have huge faith in your good works. So what he's saying here, one side of the coin, have faith in Christ. The other side of the coin, don't have any faith in your good works. So we kind of tend to have faith in Christ, but we hang on to this faith in my good works. See, we're always comparing ourselves to somebody in the body of Christ that we think this is the lesser. Well, I'm not like so-and-so. Well, I don't do that. What are we doing? We're being justified by our behavior. That's what we're doing. It's a ruler that we're not even to use. Nor by the works of the law. Since the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. But if while seeking to be justified, underline it there, in your observation worksheets, in Christ, we ourselves have also been found sinners. Does that mean you're still a sinner? Yes, you're still a sinner. But in Christ, a minister of sin, may it never be, for if I rebuild what I have once destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor. Now look at it here in verse 19. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God. Does that say anything to anybody? For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God. Now this, he starts introducing us to this thought here. Did you know that you can live on your life unto God or not? You say, well, I believe in God. Well, that's cool. You say, well, I'm saved and I believe in Jesus. I have faith. Well, that's cool. The question here is, are you living unto God? You're either living unto God or you're living unto yourself. How do you know if you're living unto yourself? Are you easily offended? If you are, you're living unto... You say, well, I've been done wrong. And so has the rest of us in here. I have been done... People have done me wrong. But I have also done others wrong. I'll not hold you to your wrong if you'll not hold me to my wrong. Anybody want to trade on that one? Why do we want to do that? Because we want to live unto God. If we live unto God and we have faith in Christ Jesus, that means we believe in forgiveness. Right? So a point of offense is a wonderful point for me to mature in the Spirit. It's okay to be offended a little at first, but we got to move past it. You can say, I've been done wrong. Christ was done wrong. Jesus says, you can live unto God. I've just got this funny feeling that living unto God's going to be more fun than living unto me. I've got this weird feeling that it's got to really be a trip. I'm up for the trip of living unto God. So I don't necessarily know how to live unto God, but I know how. I'm not going to try to do it through the law. All of a sudden, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. And God came up with this plan that if I'll have faith in Christ, here I go, I'm gone. He says, the Galatians, there's something holding you back from moving on. It's you're trying to be righteous and justified through your own behavior. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So if I'm going to live unto God, that means he's given us a little idea here that we must die to self that Christ might live. So I will live unto God by Christ living in me. It just so happens that Christ can live unto God real well. And he says, just grab hold of Christ and you get to take the trip with him. Isn't that great? You're just a passenger. He's driving. Just a passenger. You can say, well, where are you going? Everywhere he goes. I remember when I had was diagnosed with cancer, I was speaking to a gentleman this morning that's 37 years old. And all of my doctrine, all the Bible that I knew, everything that I had in me, when I was laying there and they said I had 2 months to live, trust me, it's a different thought. You're laying there, and all of my Bible doctrine, everything about me was condensed into this. Oh, God. And I said, now, Jesus, in you I believe. I said, Holy Spirit, in you I believe. I said, God the Father, in you I believe. And I said, Jesus, my arms are right now around your legs, and I'm not letting go. Everywhere you go, I'm going. That was my doctrine. I wasn't pre, post, trib. I wasn't anything. But, oh, God, I'm going to hang on to you, Jesus, and everywhere you go, if you're going to hell, I am too, because I'm hanging on to you. If you're going to heaven, I'm going to heaven, because I'm hanging on to you. The only thing that I knew at that moment of time, I had my greatest faith in all that Jesus was than I've ever had. Didn't know any Bible. But I knew Jesus. I knew who he was. And I grabbed hold of him. I remember in that prayer, he said, well, I got a hold of you too. I wasn't going to tell you that part. Didn't know if I could get it out. Let me move on. No longer, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. So here he's speaking about the grace of God. It is of utmost importance that the church of Jesus Christ runs into the authentic love of God. The only thing that has sustained the gospel of Jesus Christ is somebody through the ages has had the revelation and run into the authentic love of God. It'll mess you up. I told you I was in Toronto at that revival and people were laying on the floor shaking and it was embarrassing me. I'm like, I want to get away from this. Somebody might see me. But in the wee hours of the night, I'd go up to them and I'd say, you're laying on the floor and they're shaking. I said, what's wrong with you? What's going on in you? I'm this big reporter. What's going on in you? God loves me. And they're just doing all this stuff. And that looked plumb crazy to me. But I knew after about the 100th person, I was persuaded that they were experiencing something that I had not experienced. That's the truth. That is the truth. And it's the love of God that they were experiencing. Listen, what makes heaven heaven is that we are saturated in the love of God. And they were just experiencing just a little thimbleful. and they couldn't hardly contain it. One of them, a little bit later, I said, well, were you embarrassed down there shaking? He looked at me like, are you kidding? You didn't have what I had. And there's more to that story. Some of you heard me tell it before. Let me move on. Now, we look at the faith and promise and justify. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing with what? Faith. How many in here heard it by faith? That's how you got it. You heard it by faith. Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit? Are you now beginning being perfect, made perfect by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then does he who provides you with the Spirit, who provides you with the Spirit? He who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you. Do you see that? Now underline that. So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you? Now listen. God gives us the Spirit. Now, we don't know that much about the Spirit yet. We're just kind of learning. You can say, well, Alan, I thought y'all knew everything about it. No, every time I run into the Spirit real good, it scares a bejeebies out of me. So I'm not a professional at the Spirit thing. But I'm learning, and I'm open. So therefore, this is dangerous. So we know that the Spirit comes from God, and we also know that He will work miracles among us. Now, please note that. You're not performing the miracle. He sends you the Spirit just so you have enough sense to know you just saw a miracle. You see, I didn't have enough sense in that person shaking on the floor knowing that God was doing a miracle in them, but I got it. My problem is I got too close to it. Do you worry the Spirit of God will get on you the worst in a good service? On the back row. The closer to the front you get, the safer you are. Just a little clue there. Just a little clue. So then you say, well, Alan, does the Spirit of God really come like that? If y'all give me time, I'm going to show you how it does. Let me get on. I got to move quickly. Day 3. Galatians 3. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed and crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, underline that, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then, watch this, does, and underline it, he who provides you with the Spirit and work miracles among you, do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of what? He does it by faith. So here's the deal. Paul's saying you got the Spirit now that's within you. It gives you enough sense to have faith that Jesus can be among us and work miracles. That's the reason I say in praise and worship or whatever's going on, you can get healed sitting back there or get a revelation or get born again. Most people that I've seen get born again run down the aisle, they's born again before they hit the aisle. They just had to run somewhere. You say, well, Alan, this Bible says they have to make it public. They just couldn't help it. The Spirit run them out in public. That's what happened. So now, look at it again here. Ephesians 1:13. Now this, I'm going to skip on over into our next book. We're going to study this for a moment. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed with him, with what? The Holy Spirit of. Does a seal mean a seal? I know a lot of people get into eternal security here. People say, well, Alan, I think you can lose your salvation. Some says you can't lose your salvation. And I'll agree with you on this. If it's left up to you, you could lose it. You can figure it out. Sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of who? A promise. Now, listen, it looks like the key word there is Holy Spirit, but the key word there is promise. The Holy Spirit of promise. So it shows you here that the Holy Spirit is the result of a previous promise. How many people see that? Who has given us a pledge of our inheritance. Uh-oh. With a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. Uh-oh. Come on. Now listen. The Holy Spirit is the result of a promise that God made. And the reason God put the Holy Spirit in you out of that promise is because now He's got a possession in you and you're going to bring praise to His glory. Are you scared now? You need to be. You want me to keep going? Look at this one. It gets gooder and gooder. I hope you get scared within the inch of your life. So then, does He who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by the hearing with what? Now the scripture that we just read, you got to understand, the Holy Spirit, Spirit of promise. Now here's what happens. I can't convince you and get you to cross this Grand Canyon of the Spirit. It's not about convincing you with evidence. I'm submitting to you, you get there through faith. Faith is a bridge that's not seen, but it'll get you to the other side. Are you with me? Now, watch this one. Now, this goes into Genesis here. Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as what? Righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by, there's justifying faith again, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. Hey, Sir Alan, where's it going here? Here's the deal. I showed you a scripture that telling you that the Holy Spirit was a spirit of promise. Right? And that you were to have an inheritance. I also declared to you I didn't know everything about the Holy Spirit. This I do know, that the Holy Spirit was promised. Promised it to Abraham. You inherited it by faith. You can say, and Alan, I don't feel it. I don't know that it's in me. Do you believe the Bible lies? Did you ask Jesus to come in your heart? He's in there. You're just not in touch with it. My Bible tells you the truth. You inherited it. You received Jesus Christ. Listen, Spirit of promise is in you. Watch it. He made that promise to Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide, this is verse 10, by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now that no one is justified by the law before God, it is evident. For the righteous man shall live by faith. Faith in who? Christ. Faith is a big deal here. Faith is the substance of things that are hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. The world is constantly giving you evidence to try to create in you not to trust your faith in the finished work of Christ Jesus. That's right. The only thing you can contribute is not good works, but faith. Faith in whom? Christ Jesus. Now that no one is justified by the law is evident. The righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Let me move on. Verse 13 here. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessings, you look at it, of who? Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through what? So who was that first promise to? Abraham. The Holy Spirit of promise. You see, you can't get the activity of the Holy Spirit through the law. So the more law you practice, the less activity of spirit you have. The law makes you feel like you're spiritual, but you're not. True spirit activity makes you humble, trusting in Christ. Operating in the law makes you think you know something. And you think too highly of yourself, you'll deceive yourself, Paul said. Are you getting it? The blessings of Abraham is the promise of the Spirit. So Paul refers back to Abraham. He said, listen, y'all. Listen, Gentiles. God made a promise to Abraham. He made him a promise. Let's look at it. It's in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. You see there God promised Abraham land. How many see that? promised him land. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. So you shall be a blessing. I will bless them who bless you, and the ones who curse you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, let me hit this one right quick. You have inherited that. But you have to operate in faith, not your own works, to live in that. It's one thing to have a mansion and one thing to live in and one not to live in it. We've got more in Christ than we're living in. Do you believe that? So you have been given a promise. It's through the Holy Spirit that you're a blessing. I had a person last week said, Alan, I think I got a job up here, but I'm not sure if God's going to bless me there. I said, wrong Bible. I said, I don't care where you work, you're going to be blessed. You see, you're not going to a blessed place. You're a blessed person. Well, did I do this wrong or did that? I don't care. You're blessed. Well, I made a bad decision. Well, bless it. Hurry. Genesis 15:5. And he took him outside and said, now look toward the heavens. This is what God said to Abram. And count the stars if you are able to count them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Then he believed in the Lord and he reckoned it to him as what? What made Abram righteous? He believed what God said. Are you believing what God says? Now watch it. Here's what happens in Galatians 3:15. Brethren, I speak in terms of human relations, even though it is only a man's covenant. Yet when it has been ratified, no one sets it aside or adds conditions to it. Now the promises, do you see that in verse 16? In your observation worksheets. Now the promises, underline it, were spoken to Abraham and to his what? To his what? Seed. He does not say unto seeds as referring to many, but rather to one and to your seed, that is Christ. So, the blessing of the promise that God promised Abraham, he promised in a seed, not seeds, and that seed was Jesus Christ. So you inherit your blessing through Jesus Christ. How many sees that one? Now look at it in verse 17. What I am saying is this. The law which came 430 years later does not invalidate a covenant previously ratified by God so as to nullify the promise. You see, God talked to Abraham. Most people think, well, we got Abraham, you start with the law. No, law didn't come to 430 years later after Abraham. That was with Moses. That's when the law came. So when the law came, what he's saying here, that law did not nullify the promise that God made. For if the inheritance is based on law, it is no longer based on a promise. You see, the point being, when God makes a promise, he keeps it. Just say praise God right there. Now you think and write down some of the promises God's made to you, and you write them down. Don't think Abraham's any bigger than you are. If God's made you a promise, you write her down. That's the reason I say the only way a Christian can lose a battle is if they forfeit. You stand on that promise, it'll come to pass because God will keep his promise. That's just the way it is. Put that in your spiritual pipe and smoke it. For if the inheritance is based by the law, it is no longer based on a promise, but that God has granted it to Abraham by means of a promise. Who received the law? It was Moses. Let me get on. Why the law then? Is it was added because of transgressions having been ordained through angels by the agency of a mediator until the seed would come to whom the promise had been made. Who was the seed? Jesus Christ. Let me move on. Now I'm going to move you into the promise. Acts 1, verses 4 through 5. Not in your observation worksheets, but they are in your Bible. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had. You see, what the Father had promised is what the Father had promised Abraham. Then the Apostle Paul in Galatians says the Holy Spirit of promise. In Acts 1, we see that you're to go wait on the Spirit because the Father's promised it. It's called a promise from God. It's not done by law or anything. If you try to hold God by law, you're going to miss his promises because his promises breaks his own law. Right. God's the only one that can trump his law. You're supposed to die and go to hell and you're not going. You missed a wonderful place. Say glory, hallelujah. You see, God did something about what his promise superseded your destiny. He's promised you heaven if you have faith in Christ. That's what he did. Now watch it. Which he said, you heard of from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not many days from now. Oh, now let's watch. It's getting gooder and gooder. Here's in John 14. I will ask the Father, and this is Jesus, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him. Say, I know him. Because he abides in you and will be, he abides with you and will be in you. How many people see that? Here's the point. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit's in you. But have you considered the verse where he says he's also with you? A lot of people tell me, they say, well, Alan, the Holy Spirit doesn't come in a collective. Yeah, he does. It says it right there. He's with you and in you. So when we all bring him in here that's in us, and he says he'll be with us where there's two or three agree, then all of a sudden we get into another dynamic. It's called I call it a spiritual train wreck. It's when the Holy Spirit, when Jesus Christ walks in the room, Holy Ghost is in, and we run into each other. Parts fly everywhere. You'll cry and slobber and raise your hands. You wouldn't dare do that any other time. You know what I'm talking about. If you don't, look out if you hang around here. Verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. You see that one? What's this one? I must go so he may come. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. See, that's the promise. The promise was made to Jesus, but Jesus had to go and Jesus sent him here. What's this one? Jesus, the baptizer of the Spirit with fire. Where's Karen at? I'm going to ask y'all. We're going to sing a little tune here in a minute. Jesus, the baptizer of Spirit and fire. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now listen to me. It's one thing to have the Holy Spirit in you. And it's another, listen, I don't do this one. No man does it. When Jesus baptizes you with Holy Spirit and fire, you're on fire. Say, Alan, has everybody had it? I don't know, but I've seen some that did. And what we're calling for is the Holy Spirit to come. It's for Jesus to come. And when Jesus is in the house and he starts baptizing with the Spirit and with fire, all kinds of stuff happen. You say, well, Alan, sounds a little wild. Well, it does to me. Hang on. Acts 2:1, the day of Pentecost, you know the story. The Holy Spirit came. It filled the house. They spoke with tongues of fire. The Holy Spirit was everywhere in the place. Peter was asked, what does this mean? And Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words, for these men are not drunk as you suppose. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. He goes on, there's a prophecy of Joel. You know the prophecy. The promise came through one seed, Jesus Christ. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say into seeds as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is Christ. Why am I big on Jesus and not on you? Because it's all about the cross of Jesus Christ. It's all about what Jesus did for us. Listen, be at peace. Be at rest. Everything's probably not going like you'd like it to go, but you can't make it any better. Have faith in Christ. He has made your promise. Let's stand on it. Let's sing this little tune. I'd like for you to stand with me if you'd like, and let's let Karen lead us in the promises of God.
Stir the stagnant waters of my soul. Merge me with your river, which brings life. I don't have all the right words to say that will provoke you to want me any more.
How do you like that one?
Than you already do. So won't you come? Come like you promised. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit. Won't you come? Come like you promised. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit. Overcome the darkness.
He'll overcome the darkness
of my night.
Of our nights. Jesus be the strength.
Jesus be the strength
of mine and your life.
Of my life. Reaching past my hiding, or reach beyond my running. Oh Lord, flood my soul with your love. Won't you come?
It's his promise.
Come like you promised.
He's the one that made it.
Pour out your spirit.
Add your faith.
Pour out your spirit.
To his promise.
Won't you come?
Watch him come.
Come like you promised.
Just like he promised.
Pour out your spirit.
He will pour out
pour
his spirit.
Out your spirit.
How do I know? Because
won't
he promised.
Won't you come?
Yes, he will.
Come like you promised. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit. Won't you come? Come like you promised. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit. You love like a father.
Yes, he does.
You love like a brother. You love like a lion. Fierce like no other. You violently chase me down to embrace me. Engulf me in who you are. Won't you come? Come like you promised. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit.
Let him come to you.
Won't you come?
If you have a sickness, let him heal it.
Come like you promised.
If you have a crisis, crisis give it to him.
Pour out your spirit.
Let him pour out his
spirit.
Pour
out your spirit.
Let him pour out his spirit. Lord Jesus, we love you. We dedicate this time and this day to you, oh God. We thank you for your word. Dear God, we thank you for your promise. Dear God, your promise is greater than any law. It's greater than any sin. It's greater than any good work. It's called your promise. So, Lord God, today, we declare this the day of your promise. We want to embrace that. So, Lord, as we wait until the beginning of the worship, we'll meditate upon your promises. We invite you, dear Jesus, to come into this place. We don't have to have the right doctrine, the right intellectual understanding. But we can read English and it says Jesus will come baptize us in his spirit and with fire. So won't you come? We're going to sing a minute. If you'd like to go get a cup of coffee, it's fine.
Won't you come? Come like you promised. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit. Won't you come? Come like you promised. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit. you come. Come like you promised. Pour out your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit. Won't you come? Come like you promised. Pour out your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit. You love like a father. You love like a brother. You love like a lion. Fierce like no other. Violently chase me down to embrace me. Engulf me in who you are.
The promises of God. Write them down.
Come like you promised.
Believe them.
Pour out your Spirit.
He will do.
Pour out
what
your
He's
Spirit.
Promised. I promise you He will.
Come like you promised. Pour out your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit. Won't you come? Come like you promised. Pour out your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit.
Karen, I'm going to ask you just to keep playing that. If you'd like to get some refreshments, you go ahead. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up, and we're going to do this until we start worship. Feel free to go, to come. We're going to worship a little bit. Ask the praise team to come on up. Let's worship the Lord, that He'll come like He promised.
Stir the stagnant waters of my soul. Merge me with your river, which brings life. I don't have all the right words to say that will provoke you to want me any more than you already do. Won't you come? Come like you promised. Pour out your Spirit.
It's His
pour
promise.
Out your Spirit.
It's not our promise.